Blog Talk Radio.
Red Bricktown Radio Podcast, keeping you up to date on the ins, outs, and everything happening in Alexandria, Virginia, with your host, Lee Hernley.
Good evening, Alexandria. Good evening, Alexandria. Good evening, Alexandria. Test one, two. Hello? Test. Oh, shit. Test one, two. Good evening, Alexandria. Test one, two. Test one, two. Test one, two. Okay. Good evening, Alexandria. Hi, this is Lee Hernley. Sorry, my computer microphone, I know, just wasn't working as the show started. We worked during the test, but I'm not sure if something's wrong. So I have used a backup system by calling into the show. It's a little bit less audio quality, but hope you'll like it. So, thank you, thank you. I was getting worried there for a minute. Again, my name is Lee Hernley. My family's got a long history here in Alexandria. My family's been here for several decades now. My folks are originally from Chicago. I grew up here in Alexandria and went to T.C. Williams and the Alexandria Public Schools, St. Stephen's as well for a bit. And then went away to the military, came back, got married, and I live here in Carlisle Towers in the Carlisle neighborhood of Alexandria. And people often ask me, why did you want to do a blog? Well, that's simple. Back in about, I get asked this all the time, back in about 2007, my homeowners association here in Carlisle, at Carlisle Towers, asked me to be a community affairs representative for them, given that there was a lot going on in Carlisle at the time. PTO was getting built. West in Alexandria hadn't been built yet. Really only the SHRM building, the Society for Human Resources Management, us, and just a few other buildings were here. And so they wanted me, because I knew a lot of people around town, they wanted me to be their community affairs person. So I started doing that for my homeowners association. And we have a newsletter here at Carlisle Towers called the Carlisle Chronicle. And typically I was only given a short amount of space to write in every month. And there was a lot going on at the time with the PTO being built and everything else going on. And I started a blog called Carlisle Community News. And started that out on blogspot.com and just started from there. That blog grew over time, and this past, actually in February 2014, really wasn't much going on, much to write about, specifically here in Carlisle. So I went to my wife and said that, we need to, either expand the blog or basically tie it up. And she knew that I loved doing the blog. And, she said, go for it. and so we expanded the blog. And like I said, when we launched 8-something years ago at the Carlisle Community website, one year we focused on the Carlisle Eisenhower East neighborhood. And over time, built up the site to an average of roughly 50,000 readers a month. And I couldn't have done it without our great loyal readership. And when we launched 8 years ago, the old site, the West End Alexandria, had yet to be built, as I said. Carlisle Square condominiums was in the process of being developed. And the U.S. Patent Trademark Campus was in the final stages of being built, as was the Whole Foods Market in our area. Hoffman Town Center plan had been released, and the Eisenhower Small Area Plan was still being amended. Now, here in 2015, we have the National Science Foundation moving into the area in a few years, and the Carlisle South community coming online. Our Carlisle Eisenhower East community in Alexandria has come a long way, baby. But, like I said, there was a lot going on around Alexandria. City of Alexandria is also growing very fast. And as I said, I was getting asked all the time about posting items outside of the Carlisle Eisenhower East neighborhood. and you know, my wife was very patient with me, and I couldn't do this blog without her. We still keep tabs on Carl Eisenhower East neighborhood, given that I still live here. One thing many people may not know is one of my good friends, Drew Hansen, used to write for the Delray Patch. He and I emailed back and forth about a good name for the blog expansion, and I must give Drew all the credit in the world that Drew came up with our name, Red Brick Town, and out of that was born redbricktown.com. You know, and we have well over 50,000 readers a month now. This year, we will likely hit, if we're going the way we're going right now, we will likely hit 1 million unique visitors this year. It's really going great. I couldn't do this blog without you guys. I appreciate it very much. If you want to call in tonight, our number to call in to be a part of the blog and be a part of the podcast is 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. We are hopeful that some of these heavy rains won't result in a thunder. Whoa. Hopefully we'll be able to be online full hour. The Redskin game, I know, is starting in a few minutes, so if you are listening to us this evening, we do appreciate it very, very much. I am recording the Redskin game tonight for the first half hour or so, so if you call in, please don't tell me a score. Tonight, we're going to talk to Scott Fallon, who's a local musician in the Alexandria, Virginia area, who helped put together the recent Live Music Week in Alexandria, Virginia, which occurred in July, which was very big for us here on the blog. And he'll give us his thoughts on the 10-day event, and maybe how he thinks it can be improved in 2016. If you don't know who Scott Fallon is, Scott is an Alexandria, Virginia native, and he has been a performing musician around the area for over 25 years. He performs weekly around Alexandria. At 9, he'll be at Blackwall Hitch doing an acoustic set. I'm not sure. We'll have to ask him if his buddy Mike Gaffney will be with him tonight. That's 9 o'clock tonight at Blackwall Hitch, which is located on the Alexandria, Virginia waterfront at the foot of Cameron Street. And a little bit later, we'll be talking to Claire Muldo, who's the Director of Communications for VisitAlexandriaVA.com, about the upcoming Summer Restaurant Week in Alexandria, Virginia, which starts tomorrow, Friday, August 21st, and runs 10 days. All the way through to August 30th, 2015. I'll get to spend a few minutes with Claire earlier this week. So we thank her very much for taking the time to talk to us about this very popular promotion. Our blog, we wanted to make it kind of a neighborhood blog. And if you go to the About Me page on our site, just go to redbricktown.com and click About Me. Our strategic plan consists of 6 words, and that is to be Alexandria, Virginia's neighborhood blog. And for me, what that means is if there's news happening in one of the many neighborhoods, you can see how many neighborhoods there are. We continue to add them as we post news about them at redbricktown.com by going to our website and click on the neighborhoods menu link, and you can drop the menu down there to the different categories, which are the neighborhoods. And we've broken the news down by neighborhood. We kind of wanted to make it the place to go in Alexandria for neighborhood news. And so we kind of want to be sort of like a, you know, DCS / maybe a pop bill, you know, with, local news, you know, thrown in there. Like I say, we will be live on Thursdays. Next week, we've got Glenn Kloss from the Right in Yule campaign talking to us next week, as well as City Council candidate Monique Miles. She'll be with us so we can get to know her. We've got other City Council candidates lined up. So we'll be talking to City Council election. We've got some sports folks lined up down the pike. We'll talk to some school officials and lots more. You can also talk to us live each week at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. We were supposed to have a toll-free number, but it didn't come through for this first episode. That we should have a toll-free number in the very near term. Like I say, we'll be live on Thursdays. On the 3rd of September, we'll be broadcasting live from the Delray First Thursday from St. Elmo's Fire. So if you're in Delray on First Thursday, which is Thursday, September 3rd, stop by and say hi to me, and then we can sit and chat for a few minutes on the live podcast. The 10th and 17th will be recorded podcasts, because on the 10th is a public meeting for the Oakville Triangle project, which is really fascinating. If you read the Oakville Triangle plan, go to alexandriava.gov and search Oakville Triangle, or you go to our website, redbricktown.com, and do the same thing, search Oakville Triangle, and click on the links and get to the plan. It's really something. They are making it transit friendly and trying to fit in the neighborhood, you know, between Potomac Yard and Delray. So it's got some unique qualities to it. One of the things I thought was really cool is they are having the building height go up toward where a lot of the transit will be, like the getting easy access to the future Potomac Yard Metrorail station, you know, the BRT there along Route 1. And it's really fascinating. But there's a public meeting scheduled September 10th, about the same time as our blog. So we will not be live. We will be recorded that night. The following week, on the 17th of September, there is a City Council debate scheduled, and we will have a live blog on that on September 17th. And so we will have a recorded podcast that night. Now, here's one thing you can call in about. Does Thursday night at 7 work for you? So you'll be able to listen to this blog. Gets recorded and uploaded to iTunes and a lot of places around the web. So you can listen to it anytime via iTunes, Google Play, and a lot of other podcast providers. We'll have links on our website, redbricktown.com, to where you can find it. But now, today, one of our big posts was our Morning Links post. And please, let us know how you, if you like the Morning Links, not like the Morning Links. But one of our big posts today was on our Morning Links because it featured a link to a great article from Gene Theismann at the Alexander Gazette on the great guy who passed away recently, John Severson. John is otherwise known as Big Al and was the owner of Al's Steakhouse in Alexandria and passed away recently. And so if you didn't get a chance to go online and read Gene's great piece, I'll read it here. Gene writes, his name wasn't Al, but he would answer to it. He even signed autographs with the name, so many assumed was his. He was Johnny Severson, and for more than 50 years, he was the man behind the legendary cheesesteak sandwiches at Al's Steakhouse in Delray. Quote, if the way through someone's heart is through their stomach, then Johnny touched a lot of hearts, said Ray Smith, a longtime customer and close friend of Severson. He was, quote, Uncle Al to generations of Alexandrians. I will tell you a short story about John. I was homeless for a bit and stayed at Christ House there in Old Town. And when I moved out to a house not too far from Al's Steakhouse. And I would go to Al's Steakhouse sometimes for lunch. Say that I told John that this was my lunch and dinner, and occasionally John would just give me a steak, one of his great cheesesteaks for free. And that's the kind of guy that when he found out that I was homeless, that he just, was that type of guy. The piece goes on. Severson was only 12 years old when he began cutting onions after school for the original Al. After a brief stint as a mail carrier, he bought the restaurant in 1966 and turned Al's Steakhouse into a popular destination long before the Avenue in Delray became chic. Quote, I don't think John even knew how to cook the food back then, said Debbie Stewart, whose father was a friend of Severson. He was left-handed and hated cooking on the grill, but my dad taught him and our families became closest of friends. I will always have such good memories of John. Diagnosed less than a year ago with lung cancer, Severson made regular visits to Al until as recently as last month. On August 15th, he died peacefully in his home at the age of 73. Quote, John was a graduate of George Washington High School and really had a passion for the community, said David Faustos, an employee of Severson's for the last 10 years. He especially cared about the homeless and was committed to making sure everyone had something to eat. That's the type of guy he was, and I can certainly personally attest to that. Despite decades of rapid growth and change in the Delray community, Severson refused to change anything at Al's. He prided himself on providing customers with a local institution that offered the same massive cheesesteaks and familiar surroundings year after year. A quiet but colorful character, Severson never let anyone leave Al's hungry, regardless of whether or not they could pay. Quote, Johnny helped a lot of people over the years, Smith said. So if you go to our website, redbricktown.com, click on the Morning Links. It has the Big Al's Cheesecake edition, and you can read the rest of their Gene Theismann does really great work at the Alexandria Gazette. That's alexandriagazette.com. Remember, if you would like to call us, you can call us at 347-838-8513. That's 347-838-8513. If you have any memories of John that you would like to share. We'll be right back. now we're going to turn attention to Live Music Week in Alexandria. As readers might remember, from July 10th to July 19th, music fans took part in the first ever Alexandria Live Music Week with 10 days of live music at more than 30 restaurants and venues that were able to host musical performances. The Live Music Week featured more than 100 acts, which ranged from jazz to bluegrass, Irish, folk, rock, country, and more at venues that included the legendary Birchmere Music Hall. I saw a couple great shows there personally. The Toad the Wet Sprocket show and the Bacon Brothers, which I was really excited to see. I'd never seen them perform before, and that was really fabulous. Venues also included waterfront newcomer Blackwall Hitch, Daniel O'Connell's Restaurant Pub, Murphy's Grand Irish Pub, John Strombo's Tavern, and the Torpedo Factory Art Center. Live Music Week kickoff weekend included the Alexandria USA birthday celebration. Now, doesn't the Alexandria Symphony do a fantastic job at the birthday celebration? You know, and I always love their like superhero medleys. I love when they do Star Wars. I don't know if any other symphony does Star Wars as good as our very own Alexandria Symphony Orchestra. And the Visit Alexandria VA created an information hub at livemusicweek.com, which had all schedules. So we posted schedules daily on our site on redbrickcount.com. And some of the highlights were the Port City Brewing Company, Old Town Alexandria Pub Crawl, which happened on Saturday, July 11th. I didn't get to go, but I just want to, if anybody out there went to it, call in, let us know. That's 347-838-8513. Like I say, I saw a couple of great shows at the Birchmere, including Toad the Wet Sprocket and the Bacon Brothers. Blackwall Hitch complimented its brand new waterfront dining with daily performances by local, regional, and national acts, including Love Betty, which I thought was really good. I stopped in there for a few minutes to hear them. And the Cheaters, Daniel O'Connell's, featured daily Irish music and rock, plus surprise performances, including award-winning singer-songwriter Ayn O'Doherty and D.C.-based rock band Judgment. That's one band I didn't get to see. And if you did see them, you know, give us a call, 347-838-8513, 347-838-8513. Also, Murphy's Grand Irish Pub, John Strongbow's Tavern, and the White Horse had also 10 days of live Irish, Celtic, and rock music. Bilbo Baggins hosted a jazz-themed wine tasting and a Grateful Dead-themed 35th anniversary party, which I didn't get to go to, but I'm dying to ask Scott Fallon about it. He will join us here in a few minutes. Mixed Nightclub had various country music performances, including national act Josh Phillips Band. Torpedo Factory Arts Center hosted nomadic jazz, featured tenor saxophonist Elijah Jamal Baubed, previously a resident at the John F. Kennedy Center for Performing Arts and the Strathmore. I didn't get to go that myself, but I do know from people who went who said that was fantastic. Scott Fallon will join us here in just a moment. So that's Live Music Week. On of our other big stories recently is we were the first to tell you about the Portner Brew House, which is coming. Hopefully we're going to get the Portners on this podcast and ask them about if they're going to have live music over there as well. When they open, they're due to open in June 2016. Catherine and Margaret Portner, of course, are descendants of Robert Portner, who was a longtime brewer here in Alexandria, Virginia. So if you go to our website, redbricktown.com, that's redbricktown.com, and search for Portner Brew House. You can find out more information about that. But Catherine and Margaret, who are embarking on their own journey to resurrect the history and celebrate a new concept in the West End. It'll be there at Madera Tempo off of Van Dorn Street. And they're going to celebrate it at the original brewery. But this time, the sisters are adding a few innovations of their own, as the Portner Brew House will be a full-service restaurant and craft beer test kitchen program, in addition to an on-site brewery. So we look forward to try to track them down and get them on here on the podcast. And if you want to chat tonight, we're at 347-838-8513. 347-838-3513. Some of our top stories we've got on the blog this week is a huge page for us, and we're working on getting some people to talk about this. Is, you know, if you know, the Alexandria Fire Chief has proposed some changes to its EMS delivery model. So if you go on to our website, redbricktown.com, and search Alexandria Fire Department or EMS delivery, you can read more about that. That's definitely a topic we'll be covering here on the podcast sometime in the very near future. I am certain of that. Again, if you want to chat tonight, as we're waiting here for Scott Fallon, call in. 347-838-8513. Again, hopefully this isn't going to last tonight. Okay. Scott, are you there?
I'm here, yes.
All right. I don't know if you heard earlier, but I know I had a real bad issue with my phone, so with my microphone on my desktop. So I went to my backup plan on our phone, on my phone. So hopefully you're hearing me okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So, I just want to say thanks for doing this with me tonight. You're really terrific for doing this. You are a local musician, and you helped organize the Live Music Week, which occurred in July, as we said a little bit earlier on the podcast. So we wanted to get you on tonight to talk about your thoughts on the 10-day event and how it can be improved in 2016. First, let's find out a little more about Scott Fallon. Scott, I know your bio says you're an Alexandria, Virginia native. Where exactly in Alexandria, Virginia did you grow up?
Well, actually, I grew up not far from Old Town Alexandria. I grew up in an area called Southport, which is not far from the old Landmark Mall. I guess Landmark Mall is still there, but I grew up not too far from there. But I was born at Alexandria Hospital. You probably know there's a statue of me with a doctor holding me up in the air. Well, you've been not too far from Landmark Mall.
And what got you into music?
No, I was very fortunate to have a well, my dad always had a huge stack of records, so my brother and I always used to pretend we were the Beatles and the Jackson 5 and Elvis, but I was very fortunate to have a really good music teacher at my high school, and it was how do we take what we love and then turn it into something. But he was our guitar teacher, and Mr. McCarthy was actually nominated for a Grammy last year or something because of he was such an outstanding guitar teacher. So it wasn't enough just becoming a guitarist, but then it became a competition. We had a thing called the Ram Jam, so then it was all about forming bands, and it was also a lot easier meeting people and picking up girls playing guitar than it was playing sports. So it was, seemed like a no-brainer. We had to get involved with it.
Oh, that's awesome. Now, your high school, was that T.C. Williams? Or
actually, I moved outside of the Alexandria area for a while. My dad was a former Capitol Police officer, retired Capitol Police officer, but we moved out to Berks, so I ended up going to Robinson High School. So I was outside of the Alexandria area for a little while, and then as soon as I graduated from college, my wife, who's also from Alexandria, the second we got married, we moved back to Alexandria as quickly as we could.
Well, that's awesome. And do you do music full-time, or do you do it on the side?
You know, everybody wants to make music a career, and that's why I always, the people that are full-time musicians, I have nothing but the utmost respect for, but it's a very hard living to make, and the same time, we took a stab at it. You know, I've always been playing. I've been playing guitar in and out of bars pretty much since my, you know, senior year in high school, and then sporadically through college and afterwards. But to do it on a full-time basis, it's very difficult. You know, I went to school. My goal was always to be a professional musician. Everybody who doesn't want to be a professional musician, but at the same time, you know, I wanted to be in a rock band and everything else. But the same time, as I was a former teacher too, you always have to have that fallback plan. You know, that's why I went to school. My goal is to be a teacher. And I taught for 10 years, but even while I was teaching, I was still playing out all the time. But so to answer your question, it's always been on the side, you know, but you know, I'm still, even to this day, I'm still working the hour work weeks, 60-hour work weeks, and then go out and play at night. And I have a gig tonight, as a matter of fact, after a 10-hour day. So can't get it out of my system.
Wow. And I think if I remembered it correctly, you're playing at Black Wall Hitch tonight.
Yeah, I'm at Black Wall Hitch tonight. So I'm pretty excited about that.
9 o'clock. That's a great place to see a band.
You know, it's just a real all around great venue. And then Sunny, who books the bands there, she's really into the whole music scene and really is out there to promote the bands and the musicians, and gotta respect that. So Sonny's a really cool person. This will be my first time there, so I'm actually very much looking forward to it.
Okay, that leads into my next question. Sonny, you know, goes out and promotes the bands and whatnot. What's it like helping to organize a great event like Live Music Week in Alexandria?
You know, it was difficult, but at the same time, it was pretty easy because I think it was, you know, you have a very much, if I would have tried to do that just 10 years ago in Old Town Alexandria, I don't think it would have been able to come around. But I think there's changing attitudes and changing ideals within Old Town Alexandria, and I think a lot of people were ready for it. But how hard is it to do? It's just a matter of, you know, I'm in sales and I'm in recruiting. That's what I do on a full-time basis. It's about developing relationships. And if you have relationships and you're sincere in your ability to develop those relationships, you know, there's the car salesman relationship or there's the genuine relationship. And if you have those genuine relationships, people are ready to listen to you. It is a pretty big undertaking. It's a lot of time involved, a lot of phone calls, and a lot of people that don't necessarily have time for you, but you have to convince them that, well, this is important. And then The good news is that, and this is, I mentioned this in an article with, I think it was the Alexandria Gazette or something, like there's a real true entrepreneurial spirit within Alexandria, Virginia. There's so many people that just want to take a new idea and run with it. So I would love to say, hey, this is all Scott Fallon's idea, but pretty much it was kind of like putting the book in people's ears, and then a lot of people just running with the ball. And it's kind of like a philosophy for myself. It's, you know, even my management style where I work on a full-time basis, it's surround yourself with people you trust and let them do their thing. And I would say that people in Alexandria, the bar owners, I could name a lot of people that are just outstanding people, but I trust. You know, you say like Sonny Blackwall and Kenny over at Murphy's and Ramon at John Strongbow's. And, I mean, I could go on and on and on, but there's some great people in this town. So, but it is a pretty major undertaking. I'll say Claire with Visit Alexandria. It's just outstanding. What an outstanding profession. You know, so you have to find people that, know what they're doing and let them do their thing. So, but it is a pretty major undertaking to get people to buy in. And, once you get the buy in, it kind of started rolling on its own.
And where did you get to play during Live Music Week?
I played everywhere. You know, I do have my selfish reasons. You know, I had to take a lot of money out of my pocket to pay for it. So I was kind of, playing every night in order to pay myself back. So I played at Murphy's. You know, I played at Murphy's, and I played at where else did I play that week? I played up at Shooter McGee's. I played at John Strongbow's, of course. I played at Fish Market. I played every night, and I even played on. Well, you were there that for the Fox News thing, and even Fiona's, although it's outside of Old Town, still considered Alexandria, so we included them. I played there. Mm-hmm. I probably sat in with another half dozen musicians during the week, so I never stopped playing. My fingers were raw at the end of the week.
And I heard you had a great Grateful Dead performance at Bilbo Baggins.
I was setting you up for that question. Yeah, Bilbo's Mike and Linda Armelino are probably two of the nicest people I've ever had the opportunity to meet, and they've really invited me into their family, and they let us do our Grateful Dead event every year, and you know, and that's become like a really big deal for us, and that's kind of like taking off. First year was me, and then the next year was me and another person, and then the next this year it's like a hodgepodge of all the musicians I've met throughout the past 3-4 years. We had Kate McMahon, who's with a band called Farley Granger, and she's just an amazing talent. And then my buddy Mike Gaffney, who's a harmonica player, plays around the area, but I just kind of met him in Georgetown, and now he plays with me all the time. He played with me last night, as a matter of fact. And then had my buddy Phil Hudner, who's another guitar player who I met through Mike and Linda at Bilbo Baggins, who's an amazing guitar player. And then Jan Audie is another exceptional musician. She was helping out. She actually sat in with me last night, too. So, I mean, the Bilbo Baggins Grateful Dead night has just kind of turned into its own kind of circus. Now, this year we had our own T-shirts. We had all these different things. And, you know, it's just a win-win for everybody involved. And, you know, it's a break-even affair for me, but at the same time, it's going out and performing is the biggest payoff, and that's what I love to do.
And I even think you tweeted out a photo of Mayor Yule. Did he sing along at all to some of the...
And that was really cool, man. Yeah, Mayor Yule, he came up to see me at the fish market. He was really cool dude, you know. And, you know, that's the great thing. I always say music's the universal language, and that's the thing. I mean, the stuff that I do is all pretty basic, and I think any musician would kind of see that. But at the same time, you know, that was the great thing about Music Week. It kind of capitalized not just on the stuff that I do, like simple acoustic guitar playing, but then there was, we had blues, we had jazz, we had opera, we had symphony. Mm-hmm. It was all really cool. But, yeah, Mary Yule coming up to see us and hang out and take a picture with me and high five. It's not often you get to play with the mayor. But, yeah, that was pretty cool. Mm-hmm.
And I know like the formal feedback and stuff hasn't gone out, but did you get a sense from some of the restaurant and music places, like what they thought, what their initial thoughts of the event was?
Now, everybody that has followed up with me during and after, it's been super positive, you know, and you know, I will say that, you know, I play in Old Town a lot, and there was a buzz in the town, and a lot of people that were coming out to shows and different bars I was seeing were there specifically for Music Week, so I can't imagine there was any negative feedback. I'm sure someone will, there's always a naysayer somewhere out there. There's always someone who gives the best restaurant in town 1-star rating on TripAdvisor, but I think for the most part, everybody was really down with the event, you know, and, you know, it kind of also, in my opinion, and the people I talked to, it put an emphasis on an area of Old Town that's never emphasized, and that's the music scene, the arts scene. Everyone's thinking about the history here and the shopping, but there's so many great musicians, so many great arts, and, you know, I thought that was the feedback that I was getting. Now, there might be, so like, I'm sure there's some probably negative feedback out there, but ultimately, everything I heard was very positive.
Now, as the co-organizer, is there anything you would change for next year?
I've got a lot of big plans for next year, but, you know, my biggest plans are keeping a lot of stuff close to the vest on what I want to do. But I definitely want to change some things. I want to make sure we, you know, first and foremost, I have friends that are musicians. But I also have friends that are bar owners. I want to make sure that all the bar owners that are supporting the scene are definitely promoted as heavily as possible, and I want to make sure they're as profitable as possible because they're taking a lot of risk to help out with something like that. The other thing I want the focus to be as much on the musicians as it is on the, it's great to have additional commerce in the city, and that's fantastic, and I think there's people that are involved in promoting that, but also I want the musicians that are involved to make sure that they're getting the piece of the pie. And even as it's just promotion, if that's a t-shirt, whatever it is, or getting paid for a gig, there's a lot of phenomenal musicians in this town that don't necessarily get all the spotlight that they deserve. And then, more so than anything, there's so much open space. There's so many things that we can do in this town. And, you know, it's kind of like when we started the Music Week, it was, well, Scott, we just want to do this. Hopefully we can get 10 or 15 bars involved. You know, then when we get 35 or 37 involved, it's, well, we don't want to do more than that, and we just want to have it nightlife, and then we get a church chorus involved. Well, we don't want to do that. We just want to have it, you know, so I think it's easy to say, well, that's big enough or that's small enough, but I'm thinking big. You know, I'm kind of thinking that there's so much potential within this town, so many people that want to be a part of it. There are so many things that we didn't do this year that people wanted to do just simply because I think there was a little bit of a fear factor. What happens if we do this and this goes wrong? But now I think there's people that see that, hey, this can really work. And so that being said, you know, I think the sky's the limit of what we can do next year. Then the year after, because there's more and more buy-in. I've had a lot of people approach me with things that they want to do, but at the same time, you know, kind of approach things with kid gloves. Everybody has great ideas, and everybody wants to do big things, but until it's time to do it. So we'll find out who's the people that are really interested and the people that really aren't. We'll figure that out. But, you know, I have pretty significant plans for what I want to do next year, but at the same time, you have to have the buy-in from the city, too. And so you have to make sure they're involved in the process. This year was a significant learning process for me. I have to say that. I learned a lot about a lot of things that take place within the city of Alexandria, no doubt about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, Scott, we're just about out of time. Where can readers go to learn more about Scott Fallon?
Scott Fallon, you can learn more about me at scottfallonexperience.com. As far as Alexandria Music Week and the music scene, I would say go to alexandrialive.com. They promote all the bands in there. John David Coppola, who's a musician in the area, one of the best bass players I've ever played with. He's a phenomenal musician, but he also takes a lot of time out of his day to do promote all the local acts. So I'd say Alexandria Live is a great place to go. And if you want to find out about the music scene in Alexandria, just travel up and down King Street from time to time. There's even great buskers up and down the street. And don't limit yourself to just one genre of music.
Awesome. Well, Scott, thank you so much for doing this.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, we got to go on and talk to Claire about Summer Restaurant Week, which starts tomorrow.
All right, Claire. Nice to doing an excellent job. Thanks a lot.
And maybe I'll catch you later at Blackwall Hitch.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks so much.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Again, readers, that was Scott Fallon, co-organizer for the livemusicweek.com Live Music Week here in Alexandria. You can find out more about it at livemusicweek.com. Now, we'll turn our attention to Summer Restaurant Week, which starts tomorrow. And for 10 days and two weekends, more than 60 Alexandria restaurants offer a $35 three-course dinner or a $35 dinner for two during Summer Restaurant Week, which starts tomorrow, August 21st, and runs through the 30th. In addition to that, more than two dozen restaurants are also offering lunch deals at $10, $15, or $20 per person. I went this week and talked to Claire Muldew at visitalexandriava.com, and this is what we talked about.
Okay, so we're here talking with Claire Muldew, who's the Director of Communications for Visit Alexandria VA. We're talking about Restaurant Week. Those of you, our loyal readers, might know that Claire Muldew is married to the incomparable Drew Hansen, who actually helped give our blog its name, although I basically badgered Drew into it. But Claire, it was very nice to sit and chat with us for a few minutes on the upcoming Restaurant Week, which is tomorrow, August 21st through August 30th. Claire, what goes into planning Restaurant Week?
Well, this is a promotion that Visit Alexandria created back in 2009, and it was an opportunity to highlight our culinary scene in a way that hadn't been done before. And so, you know, starting from that first year, the amount of participation grows every year, and these are restaurants all throughout the city, and we're starting to get consistently 60 or more restaurants that are taking part, which is really phenomenal. And the restaurants are from all over the city. It's not just Old Town. You're going to find participants in Del Rey, out in the West End, and in the Carlisle neighborhood, too.
And how is the Alexandria Restaurant Week different from, say, the Washington, D.C. version?
Well, one thing we do is the timing is our event begins as D.C.'s Restaurant Week is wrapping up. And our event is actually 10 days and two weekends long. We have a similar price point of $35, but one major difference is some of our restaurants offer three courses for $35, while others are offering a dinner for two for $35. So that's really something special. This summer, we have offering for the second time. Some of our participants are offering lunch specials as well. So that's relatively new for Alexandria Restaurant Week.
Is it hard to convince restaurants to join Restaurant Week?
Absolutely not. People who participate, the restaurants that participate in this event, are members of Visit Alexandria. And sometimes we get interest from new members because they know how important this event is to the city and how much exposure to new clients and returning locals that they'll get.
And are there new restaurants this year in 2015?
Absolutely. One that we're very excited about is Restaurant Eve has joined Restaurant Week for the first time, and they're very excited to invite locals to come and check out some of their new menu items. They've been getting a lot of buzz for their Filipino and Asian menu items, so it's a great time to come and check those out. We also have two brand new restaurants taking part, and that's Blackwall Hitch at the waterfront, and Sonoma Cellar is going to be opening just in time for Restaurant Week, which is really exciting. A few of the other new participants are Hunting Creek Steak, Bistro Royale, and Bistro du Soleil.
Bistro du Soleil, where is that?
That is on Upper King Street, and the restaurant, it's been there for some time, but it was reconceived into a Mediterranean-style restaurant. But it's really kind of a hidden gem. I was there recently for an event, and the cuisine was really quite remarkable.
Are there any other hidden gems besides Bistro du Soleil that some of our readers might want to check out?
Well, I think it's a great chance to explore some of the other neighborhoods. Like, you're going to find some of the restaurants out in the West End that are taking part are Tempo, City Kitchen, Ramparts, and Shooter McGee's. And in the Carlisle neighborhood, there's Carlisle Club, Ted's Montana Grill, and Trademark. And, of course, Del Rey is a favorite dining destination as well. And over there, you're going to find Cheese Teak, Del Rey Cafe, Evening Star, Fireflies, Monroe's, Artie's, and Shock Thee are taking part. And Shock Thee, you may have heard recently that Kevin Bacon made an appearance there while he was in town to play the Birchmere. So that was very cool.
And lastly, what is Claire Muldo's personal favorite? Does she have any personal favorites?
I do. My classic favorite for Restaurant Week is Cheese Teak over on Mount Vernon Avenue. And they offer an opening of a cheese board, and then they include two entrees and then a chocolate mousse for dessert. And it's just my favorite.
Claire Muldo, thank you, and readers, you can go to AlexandriaRestaurantWeek.com, that's AlexandriaRestaurantWeek.com, to learn more. Well, after an opening strong, so thank you, readers, for progress, let me tell you.
Join the discussion and subscribe to our daily updates on our website, redbricktown.com. Until next time.